like,
but at one
point,
I equated bad editing to,
I got you.
No, we don't have to keep going with it.
Yeah. And I kind of phoned it in by the time I finished that sentence.
So.
Mimosas are amazing, by the way.
Level check.
Use this one.
I'll sit on the floor.
I was gonna sit on the floor too.
No, I don't want to touch Walker.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty sweet.
Sit up, everybody.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Sit up.
I'm Kendrick.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Kevin.
Kevin's kind of participating, and Amy is in the room.
And is Amy in the room?
She is not registering on the microphone at all.
Like
hi!
Still less than Kyle's breathing. That's okay.
Looks like I won't be in that.
It's okay because primarily, the biggest, most important thing I wanted to talk about was Kyle and Amy's delightful Florida adventure.
Woohoo!
Which clearly, of that whole trip, the most important part was the lightsabers.
Yes.
I mean, hands down. I mean,
hands down lightsabers.
Other stuff might have happened, but the lightsabers are really the important part.
We technically went to Clearwater Beach, too, which was all right.
We
walked around Disney Springs, got some pretty dank barbecue.
Got engaged. And then also
engaged,
mostly got the lightsabers.
Yeah, lightsabers.
So if you want to talk about the engagement, that's fine. But I think I'm more interested in lightsabers.
We got engaged. So there's that.
Woo! Congratulations!
Congratulations!
But lightsabers were built. So
yeah.
You're not even.
If you're gonna participate, come over and participate.
I'm participating in my own way.
You are not. It's not even registering that you're talking. The sound of Kevin breathing is the powder.
So basically, we got to go to the Galaxy's Edge at Disney World during the employee preview period because Amy's family works at Disneyland.
Finally coming through with something.
In fact, they've done it a lot, actually.
I'm just kidding. They sound like nice people.
But they got a preview, and they invited us to go along with them, and they got to choose stuff we could do. So one of the things we got to do was build lightsabers.
Where you got to make really legit lightsabers.
Yeah, they're pretty
cool. We should get some pictures on
it. It's got weight to it, man.
You can kill a man.
It's like a fucking metal baton.
What
that
is
they
the
use,
here,
right?
I will
take
plastic,
a picture of Kyle.
The blade is plastic.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's too late.
I was gonna show the sound.
Look.
Here, I'll just do this for reference.
That's pretty hefty. Hefty. Those are all pieces of a lightsaber. And Joe's taking pictures. Maybe the kyber crystal. That wasn't it though.
No, but you'll hear it in a second because I wanted to. This is the only reason I'm doing this. Ready? Oh God.
That's
cool.
So goddamn cool.
Can you see the kyber crystal real quick?
Yeah, good. But so the whole idea is that Galaxy's Edge is supposed to be completely immersive, right? So you go in there, and you're now at Bantu. This planet called Bantu, where
Tatooine.
Theoretically, in the next movie, there's a lot of stuff that happens at Bantu.
Tatooine.
Bantu.
It's pronounced Tatooine.
No, there's not everything in Star Wars is Tatooine.
You pronounced Tatooine wrong.
So the whole gimmick is that the whole everything that's happening there is like it's a day repeating over and over and over again.
That sounds nightmare.
At this for the people working there probably, but not for us.
Well, Disney is nightmare for the people working there, right?
So I've heard rumors.
Like Groundhog Day, but the Star Wars.
Rumors.
I'd live that.
Actually, that does sound cool. That sounds.
What if it's the day like your planet gets destroyed with a Death Star? That doesn't sound like it'll be that fun.
Well, it's fun right up until it isn't.
So. You go there and there's like a lot of like kind of gimmicky stuff like, oh, there's like an X-Wing over there and it does stuff every so often, you know, it's like the jets will cool off or whatever.
Gimmicky. You said awesome.
It's awesome. But I mean, it's stuff that you'd see at like any kind of animatronic park, right?
Right.
They have a lot of really cool shops and everything's themed. So if you never have, when was the last time you guys have been to like Disney or some place that
actually,
like.
Actually fairly recently.
Kevin.
We didn't get to do any of that cool shit.
Went to,
I was already married when I got there.
Ass.
Yeah.
What's the other place in that city? Or in Orlando?
Universal?
Universal, yeah.
So like at Harry Potter Land thing. And things like that, they have like all of the food and all of the things you buy are all themed, right? So you gotta, if you're like me and get a little squeamish around someone trying to serve you like Ronto, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck Ronto is, I don't really like weird meat, you could get a little weird, but it's always just like stuff you've already eaten. Like the, they had like Ronto wraps,
just,
and they were basically just
actual
like
food,
hot dogs, like spiced hot dogs and things like that.
I went to a Legoland 20 years ago.
They fed
get
you
relevant.
Legos.
Oh, sorry.
They just gave him like candy.
I just ate
like
Legos there.
Candy Legos to eat the whole time.
Not even
there's
candy,
no
just
food.
Actual
really
Legos.
Legos.
They're still probably in your stomach, actually.
Yeah.
So
I can't.
That's kind of cool because you get like the drinks that they have. You can get blue and green milk there.
Blue milk.
Which is actually just like a kind of really weird.
Put them together to make green.
Are you telling me that or are you saying
I'm
that as an observation? It's called green milk is what you
Luke,
buy.
Come down and have some
yellow.
Blue milk.
It's about as green as that cup right there.
We can't see the cup.
I'll send you a picture of that.
I'm talking to you
too.
Guys. So, but it's basically the milk.
I'm sick of blue milk.
The way they do with milk is like, their milk is, it's like a slushy mixed with like a cream drink. And there's different various like fruit flavors that are in it.
So like, okay.
I'm not sure that that is accurate or not.
Do you have to milk it straight from the nipples of whatever the
if
fuck
you,
that thing
so that's
was
another
in
interesting
Star Wars?
Part is if you talk to people there, they all have like roles, so you could ask them where they get the blue milk from, and they'll tell you like canonically where it comes from.
Oh, that's
whoa.
Cool. That is
it's all supposed
cool.
to be like
nerds.
Like Amy's sister has like a role, and she's come up with her own backstory about how she got there, and she has to choose between certain areas on the planet where she came from.
Oh, that's cool.
She's got like a backstory along the lines
God,
of
put a lot of work into that.
If
they
you
really
ask
do.
Them, like they'll say like, "Well, I used to be a spice smuggler, but then I got caught, and now I have to work in this cantina.
It's part of my community service.
Because if I don't, they'll kill me or something like that." Star Wars really doesn't have community service, but it's more death.
More death. Mostly death.
They have
straight to jail.
They have a bunch of cool shops that are right there. You can get, they have like an animal shop that has a bunch of like really fun like Star Wars based animals, like the thing that's on the ship in Force Awakens that they're trying to capture, that Han Solo and Chewie have captured that kills everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have like little plushes of those, and they had like a little Sacculus the Crumb, I can't remember his name.
Salacious Crumb.
And you could like turn his head and like
yeah.
move his arms.
That's horrifying.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like the little dragons people bring to Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
You can control it with like air.
It's cooler.
And then so like there was that shop, and then there was like cosplay level quality robes and clothing you could buy.
Cool.
Where you like you feel it, and it was just like thick robes and Jedi stuff.
This is actually living.
Yeah. Well, but it's all like it's basically like a cosplayer's
Space
dream because there's so
Space
much
wolf.
Stuff you can get there. Because there's another shop called I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically an antiquities shop.
Okay.
And that's where they sell the holocrons. So you can get holocrons and put the kyber crystals in them and do stuff. They also sell a ton of other cosplay stuff, like the badges that go on Imperial uniforms and Imperial jackets and,
nice.
Like, Yoda's cane, stuff like that.
So are people really mad now that you don't have to make this stuff and you just buy it?
I don't know. I actually haven't really looked into or heard any of that, because you can only get that stuff at the park. You're not...
Right, right.
But back in my day, we had to make it out of
yeah.
shells, out of cardboard.
So in that same shop, they have what they call, like... legendary replica lightsabers, which are like Asajj Ventress's lightsaber or Luke's lightsaber,
yeah.
And they're like full solid lightsabers that are the same like make of, as those, but they don't come apart. So like you have the blade and it's fixed and the thing's fixed,
those,
but it's heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't those the ones that are, you're supposed to be able to kind of bash and crash a little bit? Or
you can
like
do that
straight
with these
up?
Too. You just don't want to do it so hard because the blade's removable.
Right.
So
right.
you can hit these against each other and they go.
Right.
Tsh,
but there are
like,
sparring lightsabers.
I don't think those are those. No.
Gotcha.
These are more just cosplay.
Which is just one of those things that exist, and you just have to figure out what to
yeah.
do with that.
So yeah. they also had lightsaber belt clips, so you can like actually have like a belt clip for it. Or if you have Amy's, it has like the little flip, little hook
hooky guy.
Hooky guy.
So that's pretty cool because you can get all that stuff there. But Savi's is the place where you do the actual lightsaber building. So Savi's is this shop, and it's all themed as this whole kind of, like, you know, the First Order is on Bantu along with the Resistance, and they don't really want everybody to know that you're building lightsabers at Savi's shop. So the whole idea is they have salvage you're buying, and you pick which salvage you want, and you, like, pay the guy, and they give you a pin, and, like, that way they know, like, you're the person that's getting what salvage.
That's cool.
So it's, like, all kind of in the theme of trying to make sure that you don't...
Your underground
yeah.
resistance.
And so then you go in and you sit around this area and they put this tray of salvage up and they give you like the gray lightsaber piece and they give you your crystal and you put it in and it does the cool sounds and stuff.
Cool.
You then pick from four of the little spinny things, two different activator switches and two different caps, and so you get a total of like eight or nine pieces, I think, eight pieces.
And that's what your lightsaber is. And when you're done, it, like, sits there. And you're like, this is fucking sweet. I just built the lightsaber.
I just built a motherfucking lightsaber.
Then what they do is they start talking about how, like, you bond with your lightsaber, things like that. And they have the little assistants come around and, like, plug the lightsaber into this thing, this, like, kind of bar that's on the side for the first time. And then they're like, everybody activate your lightsaber at the same time. And you flip a switch, and they're all just like, like, they turn on at the same time. And then they press this button, and this little shield opens up, and you can pull a lightsaber out, like, and do this and stuff. Whatever you want to do.
You have a lightsaber.
Yeah. And then Yoda talks to you, and he's like, yo, lightsabers are sweet, right? Uh-huh. Don't fuck this up.
What about Yoda?
A joke I have for
time
you.
What time does that take? Is that just sort of a, we're not going to bother keeping
it's
this
It's his
time?
Force ghost speaking to you. Or rather, they don't. It's a disembodied voice that's it's not like Yoda's like, hi, I'm Yoda.
She shows up.
I'm not grammatically correct.
I'm just here now.
I'm a contradiction.
Also, there's Mandalorians everywhere.
So that's really sweet. They also have the Millennium Falcon ride, which is there. And basically, the theme of the ride is that Hondo Akinoa, who is a guy in the extended universe.
It definitely doesn't sound like you just mashed together all the other names.
Is
Hondo Baka something or other.
He's been in all the animated stuff since Clone Wars, and he's just this fucked off smuggler who fucks people. He's like the true neutral person.
Nice.
And like he's, yeah. He and Chewie are working together to smuggle. What the fuck is that stuff called? That's in that they're trying to get off the train in Solo.
Midichlorians.
The basically like the light speed fuel.
Space gold, yeah.
And so
space oil.
The whole space. Space gasoline.
Space gasoline.
Midichlorians.
Space nuclear power.
Space guzzling.
So you get into the cockpit's been retrofitted to hold six people.
Midichlorian. Doesn't work.
Not quite the same effect as heroin.
And you basically have two pilots, two engineers, and two gunners that sit there and fly to.
Do the gunners go into the actual dorsal?
No, that would be so sweet. Though.
That would be. Sick.
It's not as cool. It's cool. It's cool, right? It's one of the rides where you're sitting and it's like all based on here, and the whole thing shakes and
like
moves.
A 4D thing.
But all you're doing is pressing buttons. Like, it's different buttons you're pressing that are flashing. You're trying to do stuff, and just button pressing.
So you don't get penis, you kid?
You can't get penis. Well, you can because there's actually a little accuracy measurement.
Okay.
So.
Did you guys win?
You don't fail. You just try to get more and
sounds
more.
Like no.
Like, whatever the fuel is, right?
Yeah.
The more
you
get,
like
the more credits
around.
You get at the end of the run. And those credits, if the park when the park actually opens, are associated with your app. So like, there's this whole app that's in the park too.
Yeah.
And you use the app to get credits. You can use the credits to bribe people around the park to have certain things in the park happen. You can hack doors in the park and like have like capture the flag matches with people because you pick a faction when you go in. You can pick Smuggler, Resistance, or First Order. And as you're going throughout the park, there's a ton of stuff you can do with the interactive
app. That's cool.
To do things. Yeah. So you can actually be there and not just be a tourist, but be like someone who's working for the Resistance.
I can't make fun of this. Every time I'm like, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's like, that's real fun.
That sounds really awesome. Fuck.
So like, we didn't get to do the app, which I kind of sucks because, well, it means we need to go back. But that app wasn't active when the employee preview was happening because you didn't get to do everything. There's also a full-on cantina that's there. Called Olga's Cantina, and it's basically like this giant bar that's just this kind of crazy Star Wars bar, and they serve fuck off insane drinks. Like,
and just for a second, obligatory.
Have the dudes in the corner.
So that's the park. Now they're adding another ride called Rise of the Resistance later, and that ride is supposed to be really cool because you actually change cars halfway through, like meaning like you're doing something in the first part, like riding a snowspeeder. And then you get off the snowspeeder and get into like an AT-AT, and then you're riding around an AT-AT for the second
that's
part,
cool. That's
or something like that.
I just the way you said it was like, I just imagined it was like two roller coasters, and it like turns upside down and just dumps you all out into another one.
Dude, yeah. So it was
there's
awesome.
No way to make that safe.
I think
it'd be
I think it's kind of expensive. You basically have to get into Disney, so you have to get into Hollywood Studios, however that works. I don't really know how that works.
Expensive.
Then you have to pay $50 to get into Galaxy's Edge. And then whatever you're buying in there is also
expensive.
More money. So, but it was really fucking cool. Amy, thoughts, comments?
It was really fucking cool.
She said it was really fucking cool.
It was really fucking cool, apparently.
I feel like you can't hear me from back here, even if it's not showing little wavy bars.
You should be over here, though.
Well, I mean, it's showing little wavy bars. But it's literally the sounds of their chairs are the same level of wavy bars.
or
it's
the air conditioning.
Fine.
It's fine, but I'd say if you have a chance to do it, it's worth it, even especially after the other ride is there, because then there's so much to do in there that it's pretty sweet. And when the app comes out, I bet you could just spend an entire day running around fucking off with shit and...
Fucking off with shit.
Fucking around with shit. Fucking around and fucking...
So it's like they give it the same treatment they gave the Harry Potter one, it sounds like.
Yeah. So in the Harry Potter one, you can get a wand at Ollivander's, and the wand does stuff around the park. So you're, like, casting spells and stuff. And
Kyle was casting spells with his hand.
For the I was, sorry.
Put your hand on the ground so I can stomp on it.
Well, I saw Mad Max.
In black and white?
No. It was irregular.
That's
one.
Fine.
Was it, was a movie
was that first one?
No, the good one.
Did you guys go to Swansea for that?
Yep.
You're not going to Westminster again?
No, I'll go again, but it was like it was a lot easier. I mean,
it's
I have to drive past it to get to it.
We may have different opinions on which one's the good one. Are you talking about Fury
Road?
Fury
Road.
Oh, okay.
Fury Road.
I don't know. I liked the first one. It was
weird. And they're all different movies in different ways, but my thing is that the Fury Road was so good.
It really was.
And it's really hard to watch it and then go back to some of the earlier ones where he hadn't quite established his technology and, like, the balance point yet. Because, like, that first one's a little bit...
The first one's not even, like...
It's, like, the end... It's, like, the end of civilization, basically.
But it's
like
not yet.
No,
that's
I
the problem
never
with
get
it.
That.
It's not
first
actually...
One.
If you go back and watch it, it's not. It's, like, it's a regular cop.
Yeah.
And he's not, like... He's not even,
like
a special thing. He's just... in Australia.
Yeah.
It's
just basically
then,
living in Australia.
And then suddenly it's the end of the world. And then you're like, well, I'm going to go, I can hold on loosely to that one because I read an interview with the creator. And he said that Mad Max is not meant to be a linear story from one to the other to the other. It's just campfire stories about this crazy guy who's called
Max.
Yeah.
Who's mad. And like it's
just making shit
and
up.
That's
Thanks,
the whole
buddy.
Point. Like if you try and stitch it together, it doesn't make sense. He even said that, like, it doesn't make sense because he's gonna die at the end of each one. He's dead. He's like stumbling through the desert on broken limbs at the end of every fucking video.
Yeah.
Like all the movies end that way. So like how could he have survived that?
Joker.
So the whole point is it's like, oh, did you hear the one about Mad Max and when he went to Thunderdome, or the one about Mad Max when he took out the Immortum Joe, or whatever. Like they're all stories in the Mad Max like. Concept. They're not.
I tell you how Mad
together.
Max started when he faced off against a little man named Toe Cutter.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
And like, and that's essentially like what it is. Like, oh, do you hear the origin of Mad Max? And then you're like, but and then later on you're like, but I thought the world ended. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like that first one. I mean, it was, and then you just kind of like walk away. From
okay.
It, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
you just kind of hand wave it. Okay.
Yeah. That's not really.
Nobody
really
knows
sense because like, if you look at the world in the very first one, it doesn't. It's not post-apocalyptic at all. Like
there's
at
an
all.
Abandoned
I,
building.
The,
there's like one.
Yeah, it was like
but there's a whole city they're still living in.
That's true. That is true. And it is still kind of like, you know, functional. But the thing that I always kind of took away from that, I was like, that was basically, Max was the ideal of like civilization. Like once everything was taken away from him, that's when everything started. Like that's the metaphor.
Right.
It's like everything starts going downhill from there.
But if you look
and he
at
takes
it,
the world into his own hands.
If you look at it, the way they didn't take everything from him in the first one, right?
Yeah,
they
did.
They killed his wife.
They killed his kid.
But
they killed his partner and his dog.
Right, but
and
there's still a police department and a city.
Yeah, and he's just like, nah, fuck
he's
that.
Like, I'm going to leave. Oh, no, the world's end. Is like, no, it's just, it's right, it's literally right over
Max,
there.
Just
yeah.
go
just left. You just left it. There's still people there. You could still talk to them.
Or
like, nope.
They didn't establish well that perhaps that there was civilization, but also not civilization. Right, like
right.
maybe this is the same world, but you like get exiled to the area he's at in the
other
three
like,
movies. But there's no reason to really make this logical.
It doesn't make sense either because like they talk in the third one about how they're going to go across the salt flats. He says, "All I guarantee you, all that's over there is more salt." If it's like, no, there's a town. I live there. It was fine. We could just go over to the town. Like I just go back, say hi again, get my
but
job
again,
at the police department.
I'm trying to combine the two because if Max is just this character in all these stories,
right.
there doesn't have to be continuity.
I don't think it makes sense to bother lining those settings up because the settings don't really even make that much sense on their own. Like it's isolated stories. That's why it always seems like he's near the central bastion of civilization and the only one that's left because of course that's what the story makes sense that way. At least that's what the creator says. Whatever that.
No,
he's
going to
make
fair.
Another one, I think, too.
I think Fury Road has so many good. We were watching it, and we were doing the movie party, so we had inflatable guitars and poppers. And the whole point of the poppers that you've done the movie parties with the Elmo, where they give you like the little firecracker popper things, like the little cheesy
yeah.
ones. Like for Clue, it was a specific gunshot you're supposed to time in it, counts down. This one was fire it off at your favorite explosion. That was literally what it was. So every explosion was like a couple going here and a couple going there, and then someone was like having a really heartfelt moment. I can't remember what it was. Someone gets their heart broken, I think, and then someone goes pop. And like, poor bastard.
Nice.
And then we had flashlights for the spotlight scene, and that was it. It was clear they didn't put.
What's
it wasn't
the spotlight scene?
In about 2/3 of the way in at night when they bogged down the war rig.
Oh, yeah.
And they were being chased by the bullet farmer guy who's just shooting into the. Everywhere he's got the searchlight, and then they have that like Mosin or whatever it is, early 20th century semi-automatic. I think it's actually semi-automatic, so it's probably an Enfield. Anyway, with a big old scope on it, and Max takes 3 shots to miss, and then Furiosa takes 1 shot, hits the thing, and it blows up into the guy's eyes, and he starts shooting blindly.
Okay, I remember now. Yeah.
And then that's where Max says, "Pull half a click up there. I have to go take care of it." Goes away, and then just murders everybody apparently, and it's just like comes up with a bunch of guns. It's like. Damn. Can we see what that part was? I want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
But no, I really liked it a lot. It reminded me again how good it is in theaters because of you don't realize how good the pacing is until you go watch a movie that's got shitty pacing, right? Like, it slows down sometimes. It's not just action, 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 but it never gets boring,
yeah.
Which is always that hard part for action movies because there's always, you know, most movies, there's that part where, like, somebody throw a pie. Or stop trying to build characters and go back to shooting each other.
Yeah.
But
you're breaking the mood.
First Godzilla. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but that's where.
Godzilla. You mean the most recent one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First. Yeah. The first of the American ones that have been done.
Yeah.
But that's where, like, you can do that with slow motion, like slow parts of the movie, not slow motion.
The one with Matthew Broderick, or?
No.
Okay.
That doesn't exist. I don't know. That's not a Godzilla.
I used to have all the toys from that movie and play with them all.
That's
the
fair. It was a cool movie. It just wasn't Godzilla. Different train.
Yeah.
Different train.
But the pacing issues, you see this in movies and it bothers me when they just can't get the pacing right. And I feel like, guys, how long do you spend editing these things that you can't fix that? Like, I know it's hard, but you're supposed to be the best in the world.
Yeah.
Where else do movie editors do movie editing except Hollywood?
It comes down a lot. Unfortunately, nowadays, to producers and things like that, too. Because an editor could make something that they think is very functional, and anybody that spends money on the movie gets to come in and say, that's stupid, we wanted this scene.
That's where, you know, stuff happens where it gets, left on the cutting floor when the director
Amazing
comes
Spider-Man
in.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is a huge...
Well, there's...
Yeah.
It's a group effort. I guess I shouldn't say it's the editors, it's the editing, right? Because at one point, they re-edit it, and the editors are like, well, I guess I'm the one guessing the juice. I equated bad editing to
Holocaust. No, we don't have to keep going with it.
Yeah, and I kind of phoned it in by the time I finished that sentence.
So
mimosas are amazing, by the way. Mostly worn off. So like that, but there's a point where the editor still edited, right? Producers aren't rolling up to editing rigs and re-editing movies. Maybe they are, and that's really the problem here, but.
Depends on the movie, man.
I feel like it's the choices of the directors and the editors and everything together that are fucking up these movies. And then whoever edits, you know what I'm going.
Who edits the edit?
You know what I'm about to go into.
No, go for it.
No,
no.
Launch.
You know what?
Launch.
You sure?
Yeah. Do it. Say it.
Movie trailers.
Oh. Yeah.
Who edits those and why aren't they all killed?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I see a lot of trailers that get me excited, so we're definitely in opposite boats here.
But
I've been down this road on this show before, so that tells you how many times you've talked about it.
Yeah,
he's both experienced it on episode, listening to an episode,
so
and
just
outside of Sid Sock.
Go back to an episode that's tagged trailers, or Kendrick Hates Trailers, or Kendrick Hates, and you'll hear me talk about
a lot of stuff.
I have probably talked about trailers in it. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up.
Is it, how much, where are we at?
25 minutes, 25
minutes. All right, I do want to...
I was going to say, it was Mad Max on Netflix or something. The one you were talking about.
Yeah, Fury Road's on Netflix.
You should probably just buy it.
Oh, really?
It's on something. Okay. I know it's on something.
I did want to mention
it's good. You don't have to watch nothing for
it. We should follow the developments of this as it goes through because I'm very interested to see what happens with the Spider-Man Sony.
Oh, Disney. That just dropped.
So we'll end it after. We don't have to talk about this at all.
Yeah.
In this episode 2 days ago, Sony and Disney could not come to a head so far on an agreement to keep Spider-Man in the MCU far as the Disney universe.
And at this stage in the development, they're still blaming each other.
Yeah.
Sony's like, well, Disney pulled out. And Disney's like, well, they only pay us 5% and we want more money.
And so, like, there's still... Some people still think that there's, like, an ability for them to work that shit out.
Well, there always is.
Other ways, it would be really interesting to see what happens now with a former MCU character getting pulled out of the MCU to do their own set of movies, because Sony also has ownership of the Venom movies, so now, like... There could potentially be its own thing. So just keep, if you're not following this yet, it could be really interesting because of the situation that the Disney's developed with the MCU.
One thing, a comment I want to have on that was I saw a news article that said that because of the Sony moving away from this contract, we're not going to see as many Tony Stark crossovers anymore. And it's sort of like, spoiler alert. don't think we were going to catch a lot of those.
What the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, because he apparently was in Homecoming. Or not Homecoming.
Yeah,
the
two movies that they made as part of the MCU.
No, they're like, yeah, he's not going to be in it now because of this. And I'm like, I think he's not going to be in it for other reasons.
He wasn't in Venom either. And so, like,
but like, I don't think it was the falling out with Disney that's going to be the reason that Tony Stark isn't in the next
Spider-Man
movie.
It's not going to be that.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's not like we were missing very many Tony Stark cameos.
But that's what I mean. Like, it was clear the person writing the article didn't really know what they were talking about. I was like, have you watched these? Because I'm pretty sure, A, that wasn't really an integral part of the movie, and B... Oh, you gotta watch Endgame, buddy, because you're missing a very, very,
dude,
very important
thing. Same thing happened with Galaxy's Edge. Somebody wrote an article about how Galaxy's Edge is going to be rebranded already, and because it's not doing well enough. But the person writing the article was quoting Twitter. They were quoting somebody whose son worked at Disney that they knew, and they were confusing the Disney World and Disneyland Galaxy's Edges.
Oh my god!
And I was like, this has to be the most junky article
you
that I've ever seen.
Who lets these people write?
No one stops.
No one stops you. Yeah, they let me write on the internet.
True, you can put anything on the internet.
That's right.
Anyone can have a blag.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Kevin has a blag.
Kevin has a blag.
You should go check out his blag.
Yeah, he'll post once.
Check out his blag
once every decade.
Yeah.
And
almost as frequently as I'll get a Quicks Play episode.
So
eventually, I'll start getting my digital music, whatever I had 2 years ago when I did
digital beard stroking.
Yeah.
I love that fucking stuff.
I enjoyed it.
Let's do it.
But I'm too busy now.
Do it more.
You're never too busy to write an article.
Like, comment,
and
subscribe,
scene.
And go check out Kevin's thing. It'll be linked in here because I can't remember the name.
Bye.
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 Bye, Amy.
Bye, Amy.
Bye.